Let's stand together and worship the Lord. It's so good to see you in this Sunday morning service. We're excited about the services we're going to have today, tonight, tomorrow night with Evangelist Lynn and Diana Wheeler. We just thank you for coming and being here in the Lord's presence. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Dawn. Let's worship God together here. Hear the holy roar of God resound. Watch the waters part before us now. Come and see what He has done for us. Tell the world of His great love. Our God is the God who saves.
How many believe the Lord is good this morning? Amen. How many of you guys believe the Lord is good all the time? Come on, come on, come on. No matter where we're at in life, we can trust in the Lord. And I just want to invite you to go with me in prayer as we just dedicate the service unto Him. And believing that He's going to move in this service this morning, this evening, and tomorrow evening. I believe God's got some great things in store for us. We've just exited our 21-day fast, and I believe the Lord's going to honor us for our sacrifices and our dedication unto Him. Amen? Amen. Lord, we give You all the glory and the honor and the praise. We thank You this morning for what You're going to do in this place, in and in through us. Lord, I pray right now that You would just... You just begin to work amongst Your people. Lord, would You begin to meet physical needs, emotional needs? Would You begin to provide those answers? Lord, I'm believing that You already did provide so many answers during our fast. You began to speak to what we need and where we need to be and what we need to be doing. But Lord, I pray that we would just get a clearer vision. Lord, just a clearer vision, as if You're just putting on those spiritual glasses or contacts onto us today, where we can see in a deeper way what You would have us to do. Lord, may we serve You more faithfully. May we see You more clearly. Lord, may we be inspired, Lord, by Your vision for what You have for Noble Assembly of God. May You place Your hand upon Your church today. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You can be seated for just a few moments. Want to just welcome all of our guests, anybody that's here today. Maybe you didn't receive a card as you came in. Miss Joyce often gives the visitor cards, but If she missed you or you got by her or whatever, there's a card in the seat back in front of you. And that just helps us to have a record of your attendance, helps us to know you came to visit today. And we would appreciate if you'd fill that out. And then the offering bag's going to pass in just a little bit. Will you place that in the offering bag? And that'll be perfect. We appreciate you and appreciate you coming to visit with us today. We believe you're going to be blessed. We have an evangelist, Lynn Wheeler, with us today. And he brought his wife, so that's even better. And she's the better half. We like her even better, and so glad to have them both here today. And as I said a second ago, Lynn will be challenging us this morning, and then tonight at 6 p.m., we want to invite you back. So how many of you guys know what's better than one meal is two really good meals, and what's better than two is three. And tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we will be right back here in the sanctuary, and the best part about it is, unlike three big meals in the physical, no weight gain with three spiritual meals, but there might be some gaining of the Lord's vision and direction in our hearts. Amen? Come on. And so I want to encourage you, you can do it. Make it tonight, make it tomorrow night, and I believe the Lord's going to reward you for your faithfulness. Next Sunday, we are having our church family meal, our lunch, and we're going to have soup and chili, and then we'll have the sides and the desserts and all of that. I really want to encourage you, if you're going to bring a soup or chili, you're going to bring anything, would you sign up? Make sure you sign up on the table before you leave, because obviously you can't sign up next Sunday, because next Sunday, as soon as service is over, we're eating, and so Pastor and I and the staff will be making plans for next Sunday morning based upon the sign-ups and all of that. So please, would you sign up? And some of you have voiced, I don't really want to be in the competition. That's fine. Just put, hey, I'm making chili, but I'm not competing. And you can just put that next to it, and we won't make you be part of the competition, but we just want you to be a part of the fellowship and the lunch and all that's happening. And we'll all be in here together. Sanctuary will be converted. We'll have the tables out. We did this last fifth Sunday, and it was so fun. And we just want to be able to do it again together. Connect groups start in 3 weeks. And we're going to do like we did in the last two semesters ago when we did the group Connect Group experiences. So you're going to see a poster up this coming week in the foyer that has all the experiences for the whole semester. But our first one is our Super Bowl fellowship. It's just 3 weeks away, and it'll start at 5 p.m. right here in our sanctuary. We're going to provide pizza. The church is going to provide pizza and drinks, ask you to bring a snack or dessert. We'll have a great time having fellowship together and connecting. And how many know it's good to connect with other believers? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so we want you to come be a part of that. And then, most controversial, most confusing, most, I don't know what word we need to use, in the bulletin today was the thing that is titled Men's Fellowship Breakfast. All right? We are officially, how many of you read that in your bulletin today? We are officially rewriting the title of that. Here's what the title is: Men's Fellowship with Breakfast Foods. All right? Breakfast is to connotate the food that will be served and not the time in which it is served. All right? So 6 p.m. is correct. We're having a men's fellowship on that night, February 5th, that Sunday night, and we are going to serve breakfast foods, eggs and bacon and biscuits and gravy and all of that. So that is correct. I am a little sad that a few of you have asked, did we make a typo, and is it supposed to be 6 a.m.? I have been here almost 9 years, and you still don't know that I would never, never, ever, without begging and pleading, allow a pastor to do a 6 a.m. event, all right? I have done deep theological study, and although I believe that God is ever present, he is asleep with me at 6 a.m. So, all right? So we will be doing 6 p.m., all right? and with breakfast foods. I'm glad we got that clear. Thank you for those of you that have taken the bottles for the Eden Clinic. I'm going to ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Come on, come on. I want to say this. Those of you who have taken the bottles to support the Eden Clinic, please just remember those need to be back by February 5th. Some of you have already returned yours. Fill it up with change. Put some dollar bills in there. Write a check. We don't care. It just helps support the Eden Clinic, and we thank you for doing that. How many of you, the Lord has been good to you this week? Amen. I want to pray with the tithe and offering. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for all you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity to get together as a body of believers. We thank you, Lord, for the gospel, because it is life-changing. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to allow us to give and sow into the kingdom. It's going to multiply so that others can come to know you. Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hey, today is the 37th anniversary of the church as well. I wanted to mention that. 37 years ago today, Noble Assembly of God started in the living room with 14 people of Brother Raymond and Katie Boykin. And so today's our church's birthday, 37 years old today. How about that? Amen. Thank the Lord for that. Let's stand. Let's go back to worship and thank the Lord for his goodness to us. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's our firm foundation. Amen. Amen. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me shaketh. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. Jesus. the story in the Bible. Oh, the rain came, wind blew, my house is built on you, and I'm saved. For the firm foundation. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let the rain come. Let the wind blow, Lord. But our life is built on you. Sing that bridge again. Rain came. To your name, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God. Sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate me now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, God, today. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring. The praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival and you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the glory. Yours is the name. Say it again. What a powerful name it is, the name. One more time, hallelujah. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We speak your name, the powerful name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. Yes, Lord, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Lord, move in power across our land, across our churches, across this city, Lord. Lord, touch those who are sick in body today. Minister to them, Lord. Minister those who are hurting today, those who are grieving today. Father God, we lift up Tom Green's family. Lord, our dear, precious leader and brother for so many years in the state of Oklahoma and in the nation of the Assemblies of God, Lord, Brother Tom Green, unexpectedly goes into your arms on Thursday evening. We pray that you would be with his wife, Pam, and his children, Bridget and Andy, and their families. Comfort them, we pray, as we celebrate his life tomorrow, Lord. I just pray that you would be honored and lifted up, and I know you will. Thank you, Lord, for his life. I thank you, Lord, for his legacy. I thank you, Lord, for his enrichment of my own life and his mentorship and his love down through the last 40 years I've known them. We just pray your peace settle upon his family today. Others who are sick today, several are sick with COVID, Lord. We just pray for them. We pray for Ansel Munden, Lord, who's in the hospital. We pray that you would touch him today. Heal his body. We continue to pray for Debbie Rowland as she goes to cancer treatments and others, Lord, that we love and appreciate so much. We just pray you would minister to their need today. Father God, we just call upon you for this service this morning. We thank you for this God-appointed time of having Lynn Wheeler with us as we begin this new year of 2023, Lord. I pray that you would just let this year be a banner year in all of our lives and in our church in this community, across the state, and around the world. Father God, we just thank you and praise you for your goodness and your mercy today. Touch us, Lord, we pray. Lord, just have your way. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Those of you that might be interested in Tom Green's memorial service, it is tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Church of the Servant, which is way, way north on MacArthur, north of the Kilpatrick Turnpike in North Oklahoma City. And so if you want more information about that, you can see me. But we are delighted to have Lynn and Diana Wheeler with us. I've known Lynn for over 40 years now. I hate to say that, but it's over 40. Last year it was 40. This year it's over 40. I got my first youth pastor's job in Enid, Oklahoma, when I was 20, just a month or two from being 21. And just three or four months after going there, I wanted to do a youth revival. And so I asked around, and they said, there's a young evangelist just starting out. He just graduated from Central Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. His name is Lynn Wheeler. And you should have him. You would enjoy having him. And so we did, and he came, and we've been with him many, many times at Central, and then over the last 30 years here, he's been with us a number of times. We're glad that Diana could come with him this morning and be here. She is such a blessing. And so let's give it up for Lynn Wheeler. Welcome him to Noble Assembly of God.
Test. There we go. That scared me. I'm just going to tell you that right now. It scared me a little bit when that came on. Anyway, amen. Thank you, Pastor Steve. God bless you. What an honor to be back with you at Noble Assembly. Always enjoy coming by and being a part of what God's doing here. And he's doing great things because he's a great God. Amen. These three services we have together in 2 days, I'm anticipating God's going to do something great. And just trusting the Lord for it. Thank you, Pastor Steve and Carol, for your friendship. Thanks for having us. Friends, you know you're blessed with great pastors in this church, right? Just I'm going to tell you, they've not only been friends, but certainly appreciate down through the years the way that they've honored the ministry of the evangelist and that calling. And you're just such a blessing to us, and we really appreciate you guys so, so much. I always do this every single time I come. I know I do this, but I just want to ask again, how many have been here when I've been here before and you know me? Would you lift your hand? All right, good to see you. How many have never seen me in your life? Please lift your hand. All right, keep your hand up. Everybody else, tell them I'm a great guy. Would you do that one? Yeah, all right. Well, that didn't take long, did it, huh? I was hoping for a little more love there, but we'll move on. Right, right. I trust that you're praying and believing with us. Even if you can't attend these services, would you please be in prayer with us regarding what God is going to do? And we're trusting the Lord for great things. Many of you perhaps have not met my better half. My wife, Diana, is not always able to be with us, but this time she is. Diana, would you stand? I just want to introduce her to you. Glad she can be in service today. Amen. And the good news for you, friends, is that when Diana is with me, I preach shorter. Everybody say, thank you, Diana. Would you do it? Yeah, we appreciate that. Yeah. So she's up here watching the clock. So we'll see what happens. Praise the Lord. I told somebody before service, and I've used this many times publicly, I always try to operate a church service not on the clock but on the compass. I'll let that sink in. We're not wondering what time it is. We're wondering where God's taking us, which direction. God bless all three of you that are with me. Boy, we're fired up, aren't we? Huh? Because some of y'all on the clock, I can see it on your face. Yeah, you've been busted today. Amen. Listen, before we get into the Word of God, not the reason we're here, of course, but we just always want to, if we can, be a blessing beyond, these services. So we do have product set up. I've written some books that are out there. My daughter has written a Christian children's book, and we carry that as well. I wanted to take just a moment because this church has always been such a blessing to us in our missions work in Costa Rica. Let me just give you a report. Since I've been with you last, we have been able to secure and move into another facility that has increased our ministry reach 500% because of the size of the building. And because, amen, God's really blessing. We offer the parenting classes there, and we're offering English classes now, starting specific ministry to men. The ministry we're most excited about that I want to give a quick testimony is our job skills program that we do. Now, in case this is the first time you've heard us talk about our ministry in Costa Rica, our ministry center there is called The Refuge. Our ministry philosophy, and this is just us, our mission statement, because our target people that we minister to there are the less fortunate, we do not believe in continuing to enable people. Yes, if they need food, we're going to give it to them. Clothes, we're going to give it to them, especially the children we help with formula and diapers and all of that. But we believe in teaching them to help themselves, letting them know they don't always have to be where they're at. Living in what they call the slums of Costa Rica has become generational. Their grandparents were there, their parents were there, they're there, their kids are going to be there. Somebody got to rise up and break that generational cycle. So we have instituted a job skills program where ladies come into our center. They teach, I don't, but they do. They teach sewing, teach them how to do nails, cut hair, things like that. For the men, it's carpentry, mechanic work. Because we want them to come in, learn a skill, go get a job, and get out of where they are. So, again, the same three people are amening me. So, yeah, that's just our philosophy. We do want to help. We believe in being the hands and feet of Jesus and all that. But we want to help people help themselves. So even right now as we speak, we're doing a semester-long series. Our staff in Costa Rica is, they've had 54 women sign up for a sewing class, and the ladies don't know it yet, but at the end of the class, we're going to gift them all a sewing machine so they can go start their own business, do whatever they help themselves. See, we're always proud of 6 years ago, the first couple that came through our ministry center, she now owns her own hair salon. So pray, that's what we want to do, see, and that's our goal. So thank you for helping us, and that's our report. Now, I want to kind of tag on the end of that, that you'll see a T-shirt on the table out there. If you get a T-shirt, it's helping us in Costa Rica, okay? So they're out there, they're $10,000 on the table. Oh, there's more than three awake now, isn't there, huh? That got you, didn't it? Yeah. Who wants two? Lift your hand right now. That's right. You can avail yourself. Again, that's not the reason we're here, but I just want you to know everything else helps Lynn Wheeler Ministries, but that in particular is helping us continue our work in Costa Rica. So thank you for that, and God bless you. I'm going to ask you to do this. Would you go ahead and locate Genesis 3 in your Bible? Genesis 3, we're not going to read from there just yet. But in just a moment, we're going to go to verse 17, Genesis chapter 3. But I'd like to talk to you. Now, I don't want to be that preacher that gets up and says, before I preach, I want to say something. It's my goal to say something while I'm preaching too. But you're with me. Well, the same three people are with me, so that's all I need, all right? So I want to share with you something before we even actually take a text and move forward today. I had an encounter with the Lord back in June. A lot of times the Lord visits each one of us in a different way, and I think you will be able to testify to this, that a lot of times when God speaks to us in words or visions, dreams, which are all scriptural. Are you tracking? It's all biblical, okay? A lot of times those are private, aren't they? A lot of times you don't share those things. You know, that's you and God. And so those are defining, refreshing moments for us, and I trust you have those. And you've just come out of a season of fasting and prayer, and I pray the Lord visited you in a powerful way during that time. Back in June, I had an encounter with God, actually a vision, that for the second time in my ministry, God told me to share it publicly. The first time I had an encounter with God or a vision was in 1997. Out of that encounter was birthed a message I preached in this church 25 years ago called The Church One Yard from Hell. Some of you have heard that message. Back in June, this past summer, I had another encounter with God, a vision that God told me to go public with. I'm faithful to do it. I'm not hiding this from you. During this vision, God gave me a series of messages with a mandate that I'm to preach them everywhere I go. And I have been since August. The series is called Life Hurts, God Heals. I was in my office. And all of a sudden in the spirit, I saw friends, literally thousands and thousands of people. They were not in a church. They were not in a stadium. They were not contained in any way. Just as far as I could see in this vision was thousands of people. Beyond that, these people were all praising God to the top of their voice. They had their hands in the air. I could hear cries for God send revival, God heal our land. And I'm looking, and as an evangelist, you can imagine I'm loving what I'm seeing. Thousands of people pursuing God, endless. Man, it just blessed me, tears rolling down my face. And all of a sudden, while I'm really in awe and watching these people, the Holy Spirit spoke to me two words: look closely. So I did. When I looked at these thousands of people, they all had something in common. They were all fully clothed with the armor of God. Fully clothed. From the top of their head to the soles of their feet, they were clothed with the armor of God. And I thought, praise God, I'm just working this in my mind, in the flesh, you know, while I'm seeing in the spirit, and I'm just looking as I'm saying, praise God, these people are crying out for revival, they're hungry for revival, but they also know they're in a battle. You know that, right? It's a battle. And I thought, wow, that's so awesome, you know? Hungry people pursuing God. And I'm praying under my breath, Lord, let this be the churches that I go to, that people are hungry and pursuing and crying out, but they're also fully clothed with the full armor of God. Then the Holy Spirit spoke to me again, the same two words. Again, same, look closely. When I looked closely again, I seemed to notice in every single person without exception, out from underneath the armor of God, there were red streaks coming out from underneath. Confuse me. I asked the Lord, I said it out loud, I'm the only one in my office, but I said, Lord, what is that? The Lord spoke to me that in spite of a church full of people pursuing God and hungry for revival that are fully clothed with the armor of God, the red streaks that you're seeing is blood. Because underneath the armor of God, we have wounded people that with the cares of life, they've been cut, they've been hurt, and those wounds have not healed. They are hidden by the armor of God because they're a child of God on a journey with the Lord. But unless we get the wounds healed, it's going to weaken the army of God. The wounds will get infected, and we will get weary and lose the battle. Immediately, the Holy Spirit then opened up multiple messages from this to let you know that there's a healer in the house today, ladies and gentlemen. And I know I'm preaching to people, and I'm about to kick this off with a message called Thorns and Thistles. I'm about to show you something that God has shown me, but I want you to understand, in the middle of us crying out for revival, fully clothed in the armor of God, He does still heal the brokenhearted. He is still binding up our wounds, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm calling for every church that I go to, sparked by this vision that God gave me, come on, let's get healed up so that we don't get weakened from bleeding out. Let's get healed up and get stronger in these last days. Instead of weaker, let's pursue what God's got for us with every ounce of energy in us, ladies and gentlemen. I want the devil to hear us today at Noble Assembly. We're going to get stronger and not weaker in the name of Jesus. Our life wounds are going to get healed up in the name of Jesus. All three messages will be three of the messages that the Lord gave me after this encounter. I want to announce to you that Monday night, for the first time in my ministry, I will be preaching an entire message on physical healing. Again, look, if you put a preacher on time limit, don't start the clock yet. I'm still not funny, am I? Huh? Don't start yet. I've never seen sickness and disease at a level that it's at in our churches. I've never seen such a battle in the physical realm. First time ever. Now, I've had points on physical healing. I've prayed for the sick my entire ministry, but Monday night it'll be a whole message on physical healing, and I'm declaring in advance God's going to heal the sick in this house. Invite people. You know anybody that's sick? We're going to anoint them with oil at the end of the service Monday night, and we're going to pray because the physical healing is a big deal now. Ever since the pandemic, it's like the enemy keeps fighting us physically. Thank God by His stripes we're still healed, ladies and gentlemen. And so I want you to be here for that and tonight's message as well, all right? Thorns and Thistles, the title of my message today. Join me in Genesis chapter 3. Our text begins at verse 17. I'm reading from the NIV. If you carry a different translation, it might vary just a little bit. Scripture says this: To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. Verse 18, it will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Thorns and thistles, from verse 18, it will produce thorns and thistles. May God add His blessing to the preaching of the word. All God's people said, amen and amen. When we find the setup, and you've heard, if you've been in church all your life like me, you've heard Genesis 3 preached 140,000 different ways. What we're seeing here in Genesis 3 is the recent fall of man. God has instructed, be reminded, God has instructed Adam and Eve, don't eat the fruit from that tree. They did. So the Lord walks through the garden, just bringing this all together for you, looking for them, finds them. And as a result of sin, and I want to remind the church, there is still consequences for sin. There is still consequences for sin. Just because I didn't get no amens don't mean it ain't true. It is. So Genesis 3, the Lord steps up to both Adam and Eve, and He's telling them, He told Eve, okay, here's what's going to happen to women. We didn't read that. But now He's talking to Adam, saying, here's what's going to happen to man. In the midst of all of that, He pops up in verse 18 and says, life is going to produce for you thorns and thistles. Notice, friends, it's just one of the things. One of the things. One of many things. Now, I don't know about you, But when I get to heaven, one of the first things I want to do is look up Adam and Eve. What y'all thinking? Y'all messed us all up. Yeah. One of the things that is glaringly evident in the church world today is the overwhelming presence of pain. In traveling across this nation, and even in Costa Rica, I've never seen it at a level that we're seeing it at. Emotional, mental, physical. I'm witnessing in my own family, my friends, many of God's people, every church I go to. So God gave me this series, and I'm going to deal with all of that throughout the course of it. We can have on the armor of God. We can be ready for battle. But friends, if we're wounded underneath, we're going to lose our strength and lose our energy. So can we look beyond that today to the wounds? I don't know what you're representing here today. I don't know what life has brought you. But I do know this. You've all been hurt. You've all been cut. You've all had things happen to you unexpectedly. And perhaps even at this moment, you're dealing with some things that we could liken to thorns and thistles. Maybe you operate your life every single day feeling the stick or the pricking of the thorns and thistles. Maybe it's a pain that has never gone away mentally, emotionally. Maybe it was a life event. Somebody close to you died. You got served divorce papers. Maybe it was a life event that's happened. Maybe you're struggling with depression in this house today. Maybe you're weighed down with worry. But we keep going. We keep living our life. But man, thorns and thistles are real. They are. And they hurt. Now, before I transition to my three main points in my two-hour sermon, I know how to wake y'all up now. Let me just pause and tell you that there is a difference in thorns and frustrations. Frustrations are a part of life. They're different than thorns. Let me illustrate some frustrations for you, okay? So a frustration to me is, it seems like every time in the morning that I drop my toast on the floor, it always falls on the side I've already buttered. That's a frustration. I don't know what it's like where you bank, but where we bank, there are two drive-through. So if you pull up to the bank to go through and you see there's one car in one lane, three cars in another lane, doesn't common sense tell us the fastest way for me to get through the bank is to get behind the one car? Wrong. Every time I get behind the guy that can't fill out a deposit form. He sends it in, sends it back, sends it in. 400 cars go through the other lane. I'm back there backsliding. Look, I'm preaching three messages here over the next 2 days. Y'all gonna have to take your halos off while I'm preaching. Huh? Frustration, right? Those are something that comes to me too. Seems like when I was a kid, every time I broke a dish, it was always my mom's favorite. Every time, oh, that was my favorite. She had 700 favorite. Guys, isn't this true? When you're looking for a tool, you can find every other tool, but that one you need eludes us. Those are frustrations. You get the drift, okay? Tried to make it a little humorous so, you know, we could laugh a little. Well, most of us. Some of y'all ain't laughing over nothing, are you? I can see it. Huh? But those are frustrations. But when we change gears and we go to thorns, things that hurt us, things that we live with, they pierce us. Come on, friends, that's not funny. Those aren't humorous. Those are the things that make us cry ourselves to sleep at night. Those are painful. I'm going to give you three things today, and we're going to walk very clearly through this. The first thing I want to talk to you about, if you're a note taker, hopefully I'm going to be easy to follow. I want to talk to you, number one, about a crown of thorns. John's Gospel, the 19th chapter and verse number 2, tells us that before Jesus ever got to the cross, remember, that there was soldiers, and they took some thorns, and the scripture said in John 19, 2, that they put them in the shape of a crown, and then it says that they placed that crown of thorns on the head of Jesus. Now, Noble Assembly, I want consider this, please. Now, when they placed that crown of thorns on the head of Jesus, they pushed that down. The thorns pierced his head. Immediately, it hurt. We're just asking logic to kick in here, but that hurt. That brought blood to his head. That pierced him. And now consider this, friend. Everything that he went through, the lashing, the nails, he did it all with a crown of thorns on his head. So he started with the pain and the hurting, and it never went away. Through the whole process, those thorns were piercing his head. Do you ever feel like you're wearing a crown of thorns? Do you ever get a pain, a hurt, a heartache in life that you think it's never going away? Maybe Murphy's Law kicked in for you. Whatever can go wrong will go wrong, and at the most inopportune time for you and I. It hurts, and sometimes we feel like that with Jesus. Now, I'm going to tell you, because I'm very compelled and passionate about what I'm about to share with you, because I'm going to pull back and deal with something that I see raising its head in the church world today. You understand, I'm an evangelist, a traveling minister. So every week I'm seeing a different situation, but I want to deal with something, because there is some kind of belief that's being raised in the church. And maybe, I know some people have told people, look, if you're sick or if you're going through a hard time, you're really not in right relationship with Jesus. Now, I've got an anointed word for that, baloney. But I've seen this damaging the body of Christ, so I feel compelled to insert this and deal with this right here. Everybody shout, that's okay, preacher. Come on. I feel, because I want to cancel this off your life. If somebody's told you you're going through a hard time, and that means you're not in right relationship with God, or you're doing some things wrong, or there's sin in your life, let me pray. And I don't want to just disprove it with my opinion. Hear me. I want you to follow me in Scripture, okay? I want to show you Romans chapter 12 and verse number 12 that says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Now, I want us to focus on the line, patient in affliction. Let me ask you something, Noble Assembly. Let me ask you, why would the Bible tell us to be patient in affliction if we're not going to have affliction? That doesn't make sense. One more, since that one made you shout. Psalm 34, verse 19. Listen to what the psalmist said. The righteous person may have many trouble, but the Lord delivers him from them all. The righteous person may have many trouble. Now, that's not the verse we put on the refrigerator. We don't put that one on the mirror where we're shaving, do we, God? Huh? Oh, boy. Righteous people, many troubles, yay. Why would Scripture tell us this if we weren't going to have trouble? It does not mean you're less of a Christian. It does not mean there is sin in your life. I'm preaching better than you're amening right now. That's not what that means. I want us to focus on the fact that the Bible tells us to be patient in affliction because we will have affliction. The righteous person will have many trouble, but somebody got to hear me up in here right now. But the Lord will deliver us from them all. The Lord will deliver us from them all. Yeah, there's going to be thorns and thistles. Yes. There's going to be afflictions and hurt and heartache and pain, and we're going to get cut and we're going to bleed out and wonder if we can take another day or another step, but the Lord will deliver us from them all. That's where we're at, see. So if somebody spoke that into your life, I cancel it off of you right now in the name of Jesus. It's not biblical. Second thing I want to talk to you about is the exemption from thorns. Who's exempt? Nobody. I even lost my three amenners that I had earlier now. I'm killing this thing now, aren't I? Nobody is. Am I preaching the truth? Nobody. You're not so rich, you don't have hurts. You're not so popular, you don't have, you're not so famous. I mean, you know, some, I've heard some, boy, if I could just have a lot of money, or if I could just be famous and everybody know my, listen, I'm gonna tell you, I see all those famous people. They got problems. That's not gonna do it. Nobody is exempt. With a heavy heart, I just wanna share some illustrations that I know. No, there's a mega church pastor for years preached to thousands of people every single Sunday. Gets up, people saved, filled, healed, delivered in his ministry. What a lot of people don't know, he has a grown adult son that on a regular basis breaks into his house, steals from his mom and dad, goes and sells it so he can have drug money. Now that hurts. That's painful right there. But you never know it. Every week the man of God gets up, preaches the gospel. Can I just tell you, you don't know what's going on across the aisle in this house. You don't know who's hurting today. You don't know how deep that pain is. Because we don't wear it on our shoulder all the time. I think about an old revivalist named Smith Wigglesworth. I've read a lot of his stuff because I enjoy studying revivals of days gone by. Smith Wigglesworth was a healing evangelist. Literally laid hands on thousands of people and they were healed instantly. Thousands upon thousands of documented healings in Smith Wigglesworth's ministry. But what a lot of people don't know is he had a daughter who was born deaf and never healed. What? You think he didn't pray for her? You think he didn't pray for her more intense than he prayed for anybody else? Born deaf, died. She was still deaf. Living in the same house with one of the great healing evangelists. My wife and I are regular ministry guests at the Assembly of God Church in Bowie, Texas. Last year, worship pastor, not even 40 years old, just woke up one day in great health. In one day, had a multiple strokes and passed away within a week. Beautiful family. That hurt. Come on, can I preach to you real? That's not fair. That hurts. Nobody should have to do that. In 2 weeks, we will be with some pastors whose 25-year-old son blew up in a work accident, got too close to a gas well, and his dad found him. Not the way life ought to go. That hurts. How do you come back from these things? That hurts. That's thorns and thistles on a whole new level. And then I take you to another example that's biblical. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and we know he had thorns and thistles because he told us he did. We know he struggled. Let me read it to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7. Perhaps you've heard this, but listen, because of these surpassingly great revelations, watch what Paul said. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh. Everybody shout thorn. Thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Now, I always tell churches, I'm going to quit preaching for 60 seconds. Let's just talk about it, because you've heard it. If you've been in church, you've heard that. But let's think about it, because Paul never said what his thorn was. Preachers have preached that he never said. But here's what we do know. So let's not focus on what we don't know right now. Let's focus on what we do know about his thorn, okay? We know this, that it was a message from Satan, because the Bible just said it was. We also know that it was sent to torment him. So it tormented him. It didn't just pierce him. It didn't just hurt him for a moment and then go away. This is one of those things that stuck and stayed with him. Now, friends, before I move on, listen, I've got to show you. There were three different times that Paul tried to deal with this. He sought God that the thorn would go away by shaving his head, old religious ritual. He's trying everything to get rid of that. How many ever had a pain so bad you'd do anything to get rid of that? Yeah, we all can. He shaved his head. He went on two different 10-day fasts, two different times, fasted for 10 days to get this thorn away from his life. It's tormenting him. It's killing him. It hurts so bad. And I wish I could have a microphone right now and say to you that whenever he went on those fasts, God took the thorn away. But the Bible doesn't say that. In fact, Scripture never tells us he took the thorn away. But do you know what the Bible does say? God stepped into Paul and said, Paul, I know you're hurting. I know this thorn is tormenting you, but I'm going to tell you this. My grace is sufficient for you, buddy. Can I speak into your life right now? Maybe you're hurting. You're feeling the pain and the cares of life, and you're sitting in this service hurting right now at this moment. Can I remind you, his grace is sufficient for you. He's got you covered. He's got your back. He's not only the healer of our bodies, he's the healer of our broken heart. Every wound, every hurt, his grace is sufficient, and you're going to make it, friend. You're going to make it in Jesus' name. Number three, I'll close with this. Thanks for not clapping for that. Number three, removal of the thorns. Come on, everybody's got to smile, even if you got to fake it right now. Because there will come a day all these thorns and thistles are gone. It'll be over. We have a promise that one day we will trade our crown of thorns for a crown in glory. It's a promise, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to skip a few verses here, but down to Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. You will suffer persecution for 10 days. Watch this, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you life as a victor's crown. You're suffering with thorns and thistles, but I'm going to give you a crown in glory. If some of y'all don't get happy, I'm going to start all over. There's going to come a day, this is all over, folks. I'm asking you, do you believe it? I'm telling you, these thorns and thistles are going to be gone. These hurts and heartaches are going to be gone. I want to share with you a verse that I can quote and many of you can quote. But I'm going to tell you, since I had this vision from God, this verse changes everything. The way I look at it and the perspective, as I've preached it my entire ministry, but I see it different now. Paul, writer two-thirds of the New Testament. We've already learned he's got his thorns and thistles. He's coming to the end of his life, and he's mentoring a young man named Timothy. He's passing the baton. So he writes two letters to Timothy. And there are some powerful, come on, some of you got this memorized. You're going to, but there are some powerful words that have now changed for me in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Thorns and thistles, hurt and heartache. Timothy, my life's about over. My ministry's about done. So I'm going to pour something into you. But Timothy, I want to tell you something. There were literally days I didn't feel like I could get out of bed. I'm telling you, Timothy, these thorns and thistles, they hurt so much. I cried nonstop. But Timothy, now that I'm to the end, I'm going to tell you this, buddy. I fought a good fight, man. Timothy, I hurt every single day, but I'm going to tell you, I didn't quit. I didn't roll over. I didn't get mad at nobody because I had a thorn and thistle that was sticking me constantly. Buddy, I fought a good fight. Timothy, I want you to know this too. I finished the race, man. I hurt every day. Timothy, there were days I didn't feel like I was going to be able to put one foot in front of the other. I literally thought I was dying mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Timothy, I just barely made it. But I'm going to tell you, I finished the race, buddy. I didn't quit. I never blamed God. I finished it, man. And Timothy, I want you to hear this. I kept the faith. Even when I hurt so bad, I still believed God was going to take it away. I still believed he was going to deliver me. I trusted him all the way to the end, Timothy. I kept the faith. Now watch this. Then he told Timothy, now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness. Everybody shout crown. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not to me only, but to everybody looking for his appearing. That's you and me, noble assembly. We're looking for him. So can I tell you this? I know it hurts. I know it's painful. I may be preaching to people today that are bleeding out from past hurts and cuts in your life, but can I tell you, keep fighting. Can I tell you, keep the faith. Can I tell you, don't stop. Finish the race. Don't roll over. Come on, let's serve notice on the devil today. We will not stop. We will fight. We will finish this race. And not just limping home to glory, ladies, but finishing stronger than we have ever been in our life. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We're going to get a crown. Final illustration in our close. This past May, we celebrated 40 years of full-time ministry, even though I don't look that old. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate you, Phil. You got my back, man. My board of directors did an event. They did a banquet to celebrate us back in May. We were honored to have your pastors there. It was such a blessing for them to come and celebrate with us. To celebrate that milestone, my board took us up an offering and sent my wife and I on a vacation. And, well, we reacted totally different than you just did. I want you to know it's always been a bucket list. Maybe you've been there. We wanted to go to the Northeast. We're history people. So they took this offering up for us and sent us to the Northeast. And we had a great time. Thanks for asking. 11 days, we got to go. Since we've been in full-time ministry, we've never been able to have a vacation. It was just so kind. The people were so generous. I want to fast forward on that trip to the very last day that we were there. We finished in the city of Boston. We were staying downtown. Even though I had a rent car, we took an Uber everywhere because I'm not driving in that. So everywhere we went, we would call an Uber, and Actually, this was coming to the very end of our last day, and I don't know if you've ever visited there. If you have, you know this. If not, I want to try to paint a picture the best I can, okay? So in downtown Boston, you don't just cross the street. It's not like you go from one side of the street to the other. That's not the way the structure is in Boston. So if you want to get across the street, actually, you've got to cross two streets. So you cross, and there's this island in the middle. And then you have to cross another street to get to the other side of the street. So it's really not like me just saying cross the street's not going to give you an adequate picture of this, okay? So we're sitting at a light. We're in the back seat of our Uber, just a couple of minutes from our motel. We're going back to pack up. The next day, we're coming back home. Vacation's done. And we're sitting there. It's raining. We're sitting there, and the Uber driver's talking to us. You know, we always interested, you know. We just talk to people, you know, about their city, and he just talking. All of a sudden, we see these two girls, and they're kind of dancing in the rain, skipping. They look to be maybe late teens or early 20s. I don't know. It's a guess, but they've got rain gear on, and, you know, they're just having fun. They're probably on vacation. And I think one of us even pointed out, look at those girls. They're having such a good time. You know, they're running through the puddles and jumping and laughing and just enjoying getting rained on. I just know they ain't as old as me if they enjoy that. So we're watching these girls because they're having fun. I like to see other people have fun, and we're just watching, talking about them. You know, all of a sudden, we're at the red light. So, you know, they come across, you know, this first street to the medium, and we're still watching them because they're splashing, and, you know, our light was red. And they get to the medium there, and, you know, and I'm kind of still watching them. So now they got to cross the street. So here they go. They take off across that second street. First girl, man, she just, you know, darts across there. Second girl made it about halfway, and a car came flying and hit her. We saw it. Watched her. Didn't hit her head on. We don't think it was life-threatening, but kind of clipped her on the side. She went flipping, ended up on the cement, and we're watching this. Of course, the car stopped. Other people jumped out. People are racing to her. And I'm just sitting there watching this girl wallow on the cement, screaming in pain. And there's nothing I can do. I got to tell you, I've got a daughter, 25 years old, and I start going down the thought, my Lord, somebody get to her dad. Her dad's got to know this. Get to her dad. Somebody. Even if I would have jumped out of the car, I couldn't have helped. I'm not a medical person. I don't know what to do. I had no choice but to sit there, just hope that she's going to be okay. Our light turned green. We went on. For a few days, we still talked about the point. I assume she's going to be, oh, again, you never know. I'm not diagnosing anything. It just didn't look like maybe, but I guarantee you her leg, her hip were damaged pretty bad. And I thought about that in preparing for this message. I thought about the truth of the matter is, we really can't help people that are hurting. There's only one that binds up the brokenhearted and heals our wounds. Just one. That's all. I can pray for you. I can put my arm around you and cry with you. But the best thing you can do for any friend or family member that's in pain is point them to Jesus. Because he's the only healer, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm going to tell you, he's in the house this morning to bind up your wounds today. He did it for others. He'll do it for you. Father, I'm so grateful for the many times that you have poured in the oil and wine in my own life. I'm so grateful, Lord. that you're the healer of the broken heart. I thank you that you're the one that restores us to health in the house. Heads are bowed, please. Eyes are closed. I'm going to ask God's people across this church, would you just pray with me right where you are right now? I've got two questions I'd like to ask. The first one will be the most important. As a ministry guest, I don't know the spiritual condition of your heart and mind today. Now I'm accountable for this service in heaven. I do have to ask before I move on. Is there anyone here in this service today who's not in right relationship with Jesus Christ? He's not the Lord of your life. He's not the Savior of your soul. In fact, you've got unconfessed sin in your life today. And you need forgiveness of sin. I want to pray with you before I do anything else. Just in case there's somebody here saying, Lynn, I'm not right with God. Would you pray with me? If that's you, would you put your hand up, make eye contact with me today? I just want to know, anyone here, not a follower of Jesus Christ, unconfessed sin in your life today, just slip your hand up and write back down. I realize I may have preached to all Christians, all believers. That's why I'm just going to scan one more time. I understand that's a possibility. All right, would you stand with me, please, across the service, head still bowed, eyes still closed. Can we reverence the moment before God right now? Hallelujah. Jesus, Lord, you're the healer of the broken heart in this place right now. Lord, we ask you to pour in the oil and wine. Friends, as we continue to wait in the presence of God, would you permit me, please, the privilege of praying over you before you exit this service today? I just wonder how many attended this Sunday morning worship experience today. And you'll say to me, Lynn, I'm living with thorns and thistles. The cares of life have pierced me, and I feel the pain of my situation, my circumstance, my diagnosis. I feel the pain of that, Lynn, every single day. It never goes away. Let me pray with you. Put your hand in the air if that's you right now. I want to know who I'm praying with in this sanctuary. God sees it. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, sir. Every day I feel that piercing. I know what it is. I know what it is. Can I ask you this? Who in the house today? Maybe you got cut a long time ago. Maybe something happened to you 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 10 days ago or something, but it's left an open wound. And you refuse to leave this house today bleeding out. You want Jesus to pour in the oil and wine. If that's you, put your hand in the air right now. Yes, sir. Thank you for being honest. Yes, young people, thank you for being honest. Thank you. I'm ready for the Lord to heal it because it's been an open wound in my life for so long. Could we continue, please, just to reverence the presence of God that's moving in this house? Hallelujah. So much pain. Would you do one more thing for me? Listen, you're not going to be by yourself. There were at least 20 people that lifted your hand. But if you lifted your hand, would you walk to the front of the church and let me pray with you, please? Just right now, do you mind? Just thank you. Thank you. Just come. Say, man, that's me. That's me. I just need the Lord to pour in the oil and wine. Thank you for your honor. I've just been cut. I've been hurt. I'm bleeding out. I'm tired of this. I need the Lord to do it. I need the Lord to do it. I need the Lord to do it. Hallelujah. Friends, would you look up, please, and look this way, those of you back between the chairs. I'm going to ask you with everything that's within me to help me out right now. There are tears flowing big time up at the front of this church. These are people you go to, maybe they're friends or family members, I don't know. Ladies, would you please do me a favor? Some of you out there, would you look up here, see somebody and come pray with them right now? Come on, they need you. Would anybody thank you if you're moving? Men, would you do the same? Would some of you men say, oh, I'm going to come get my brother who's broken right now. Thank you for doing that. Thank you. Just get over here behind these brothers and behind the, thank you. Lay your hand up on them. Would you do that?
Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I just pray healing of these open wounds right now over every one of these individuals. Lord, I don't know the level of pain in their life. Lord, I don't know what cut them, but I do know there's a healer in the house today. I do know that that open wound can be bound up. I do know that you can pour in the oil and wine right now. I do know that the broken can leave this place restored in the name of Jesus. I do know that you deliver us from them all today, 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 today. Lord, would you please honor the tears that are flowing in the sanctuary today. We cry out to you, Lord, because our hope is in you. We have nowhere else to go. Nobody else can do this. Thank you, Jesus. You're the healer. Thank you, Jesus. Pour in the oil and wine. Love on your people right now, Lord.
I know there is peace within your presence, Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus, 'cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus, 'cause your name is power, your name healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows. burn like a fire.
We just lift our hands to the Lord and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are the great physician. You are the balm of Gilead. You are the healer. We thank you, Lord, for your healing touch. And we thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your help. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise your name, God. Praise your name, God. Praise your name, God. Oh, Lord, we thank you, God. We're trusting you, Lord. Trusting in your word. Praise God. We're going to receive a love offering for our evangelist today. Those of you at the altar, continue to stand and pray. No problem. If you're out in, you could get your money, check, whatever. We just want to receive an offering today. Or for ushers would come, you can just make the check out to Noble Assembly of God, put in the memo or on the envelope, put on their wheeler. And we just appreciate Brother Lynn and Diana coming. We appreciate your help in bringing them here as we want to support them. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to invest in good soil. Invest in your servant who speaks all around this nation. And we thank you for him. We thank you, Lord. We just want to take good care of him as your body. So, Lord, we just pray you would bless both gift and giver today. And, Lord, may we continue to hear great news and reports and testimonies of what you are doing through his ministry, faithful ministry. Lord, bless this offering, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We hope everybody can come back tonight at 6 o'clock and be with us for, I'm excited to hear this series of messages. This has been really good. And so we invite everybody back tonight at 6, tomorrow at 7. And if you know someone who needs a healing, say, come go with me to church tonight. Let's believe God for His will to be done in your life. So, Lord, thank you again for this time together. We pray your blessing upon the remaining times of worship in our winter awakening. We just pray that you would help us all come back tonight expecting and believing for your will to be done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.